Good morning. Hello. Good morning, everyone. We have a few new people, a couple of people visiting. Welcome. We've got some old visitors back with us. And welcome to the Count to Three Church. My name is Douglas, and I'm leading the service today. And I'm so glad that you're all here together, because together we are coming to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we welcome you. So we welcome you in his name, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's right. So that is our Lord who we serve and worship. I want us to just say together, Ollie, if you could bring up the slide. That's right. So let's say this together. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So we, the people of Ely, and some have come from beyond, who also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his chosen people. And it says very much in there, we are God's special possession. Think about that for a moment. We are our God's special possession. Isn't that amazing? Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we are your special possession, that you love us. You sent your son to die for us. And we are gathered here to honor you. We just lift up everything that happens here today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Have you ever heard, you have the saying, have you ever? Okay, have you ever, take that off now. No, yeah, thank you. Have you ever done this, or have you ever heard this? That's the saying, okay. It made me think the week that's just gone, because my question to you is, have you ever discovered something in the Bible that you hadn't before? You know, we have encountered different things in our lives, but what about in God's Word? You may have been reading the Bible for many years, you know. You might read the Bible occasionally, you know, be all different, but have you ever read something in God's Word that you hadn't realized before? So bring that slide up, Ollie, please. So have you ever discovered something in the Bible that you never knew? So I did this week, you probably have known, but the example I want to give you, and then I want to give you a little bit of a challenge after that. The example that I want to give you is, I came across it in Psalm 107, where it says, he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. There you go, Psalm 107:29. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea be hushed. And that straight away made me, I might have read that before in Psalm 107. I'm sure I have read it before many times, but it didn't click until it clicked this time. And it suddenly made me think, oh, Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? So in Matthew, we know in Matthew and in Mark, Jesus calms the storm. And in Mark and Matthew, it says, then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the psalm said, he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And in Mark, I read it in Mark also, but talks about Jesus calming the storm. It says, Jesus said, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So it shows that Jesus performing the exact same action as God the Father. And that led his disciples further down, it says in Mark, that led his disciples to ask, who is this then? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And what struck me was the same thing, that the connection is used to demonstrate Jesus' divine authority and power over nature, the same as God the Father. And that was something new. I hadn't actually thought about it. So my question to you all says, so what can we read in the Bible that can speak to us either in a new revelation, encouragement, a promise, or a blessing, or all of the above? So you might, next time you open your Bible or you go through something, you know, pray to the Holy Spirit that he can either reveal a revelation or encouragement or a God's promise or a blessing. And that's what my have you. So I did read something in the Bible this week which I hadn't thought about or made that connection before. Okay, so gifts with a joyful heart, knowing that you will use it for your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom, Lord. We acknowledge, Lord, that everything we have belongs to you. Help us to be faithful stewards of your gifts and use them for your glory. May we be empowered, Lord, to give sacrificially with joy and faith so that your kingdom may be advanced through our unified and generous community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Mike to come in the reading before Sat comes up too.
Bible reading is taken from Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it wonderful to be a part of a church family where when young people and young kids go out, you have more empty chairs to look at? It's wonderful. It is wonderful to see that God has given us responsibility of so many young lives to help them grow in the Lord. And the responsibility doesn't just lie on the shoulders of those who are taking the Sunday club or youth group, but it lies on the shoulder of each and every person sitting here. We might not be good at taking a youth lesson, but a great smile and asking them, how was your week and how are you doing? And is there something that I could be praying for? Is a great fulfillment of our responsibility towards them. So as a church family, let's continue to do that. Let's continue to encourage them and help them grow in the Lord. Well, that's not my sermon. We as a church are going through a sermon series. And the sermon series, the title of the sermon series, is Our Foundation. And as a part of a sermon series, we are going through the Apostles' Creed and looking at different aspects of faith that we see in that creed. Thus far, we are, and even today, we are faithfully following Apostles' Creed. But in between, there are topics that we have brought in which we thought would be good for us as a church family to look at. And sometimes when we look at such sermon series which talks about basics of our faith, we sometimes wonder, oh, why are we even doing that? We know it all. But it is a good practice for us as we grow in the Lord to look at those basics and say, okay, sometimes it is good to ask questions. Sometimes it is good to see and understand what others' perspectives on these things are and why do they believe it in that way. It's a journey of growing together. Thus far, can I have my thing? Thank you. Thus far, that's my whole sermon up there. Thus far, we looked at God, we looked at Jesus, we looked what Jesus came and he lived his life, he died on the cross, he went up, his resurrection, and then that he is with God the Father interceding for us. And that has almost happened and something that Christ is doing for us now. But this morning, we are going to talk about the future. And that's the part that we are talking about in the creed where it says, he is seated at the right hand of the Father and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Very interesting topic, right? Ooh, full of excitement. Definitely not. You know, when we think of God, when we think of Jesus, when we think of all his characteristics, and if we go around in the church saying, I thank God because God is, and then give that space for people to fill in, we would have a lot of things to talk about. God is love, God is faithful, God is caring, God is my father, God is this, God. But I wonder if anybody would say, I thank God because he's going to judge me at the end of my life. But that's the amazing thing, my dear friends. We don't talk about it. We keep that topic like, okay, keep it to one side. I'm not sure how many of us have actually heard loads of sermons ever preached on topics like this. Or how many of us have actually read a book in the Bible which talks about Jesus coming back and his second coming? Do you know which book I'm talking about? Book of Revelation. You know, I know some people who have faithfully read Bible from Genesis and also struggled and suffered through Leviticus and Numbers. They're fine with it and all that journey. But when they come to Revelation, they're like, oh, let me go back to Genesis. It's a difficult book to read. At times, the language that the book has is something many people would struggle. And the whole topic of God's judgment and second coming and the punishment and all that fills our hearts with fear. But my dear friends, and I truly believe this, Book of Revelation is not a book for us to feel scared of. It is a book of hope. Though I'm not talking about Revelations this morning, but it is a book of hope because it is talking about this subject. And it has a storyline of every Hollywood movie. Seriously, if you like superhero movies, watch the plot. The movie begins, everything is fit and fine, something happens, then there is a war in between where it feels like the enemies are winning and the heroes are weak. So then they come back and have a final war and the heroes would win. And that's how the movie ends. That's the storyline of Book of Revelation. Seriously, read it. You would see that. And come and discuss. It's a wonderful view. But this morning, as we talk about Christ coming back as a judge, and he will definitely come, there are views in this world which says, oh, all this talk about judgment in the Bible is not the actual things that God is talking about. Or it was more of then, you know, just about when the Bible was written down. It was about for those eras. So Book of Revelation was addressed to those people then. And so it is for us, it's just information and it is not going to happen. My dear church family, please know that things that were written in the Bible were fulfilled in the Bible itself. And what is one strong evidence of God's prophecies being fulfilled? Jesus Christ coming down on this earth, dying for us on the cross, and the resurrection on the third day. Things about him were written about 600 years ago and all that, and still it happened. So Christ is delaying a bit. We are 2,000 years and plus going on. But things would happen. He is going to come back. He is going to come and judge us. So if we sit here this morning thinking, okay, it's a good topic, but we might not actually ever face that day, I would say read the Bible again. You know, the chapter that we have read here this morning, Matthew chapter 25, is a part of Jesus' long talk over two chapters in Matthew, that is chapter 24 and 25, where Christ is talking about his second coming. And he talks about three different stories there. Or there are two stories, and then finally Jesus is bringing it all to the end. He talks about 10 virgins and three servants. But if we look at this passage, and if we talk about the judgment, you know, the judge plays the important role. You know, any TV show, the judge plays the important role. You know, Strictly Come Dancing, or be it a cooking show, the judge plays the role. You know, people would see, oh, he's a great chef. So if it's a cookery show, they will look at, oh, he's a well-known chef. He knows his stuff. He knows how to make food. And then, therefore, they will bring him to, what's that famous cookery show? Master Chef, or Great British Bakery baking thing. I don't watch all this stuff. You talk about action movies, I'm into it. And all that. You know, and then they would bring some celebrity to sit along with this judge just to get make sure that people would watch and tune in. And then they would, those celebrity might be like, I have never danced in my life, but I'm sitting here because I'm famous. And they do that. And that's the routine because they want to get TRP, get money. But when Christ will come back as a judge, he is not going to come back because he's a big celebrity. He's not going to come back because he will attract a lot of attention. But Christ will come back as a judge because he is the only one who can come and judge us. I know I could have easily gone out with the mic and said, why so? Three reasons. He is sinless. The most important and valid reason why Christ can and will be our only judge or is the right person to judge because he lived among us. You know, teenagers, if you have a teenager, my daughter, almost getting there. You don't know what it feels like. You know, it's the same script in every house. I don't know how come. Right from the north to the south. Same script. But we won't have that say when Christ comes to judge us, saying, you don't know how it is, how difficult it is to live on this earth. Christ would say, yeah, I walked among you guys. I know how difficult it is. Yes, we never had phones with me, but we had a lot of people are out in the market, a lot of gossiping going out in the market. I know what sin is. I know what temptation is. I know how difficult it is, and I still walked. At this point, we might say, oh, but he was God. So it's still difficult. It was not difficult for him. But we forget that we have the same spirit. Christ can only judge us, and Christ will judge us because he has no favorites. You know, there's this story where James and John's mother comes to Jesus and say, who is going to be on your right and left? And Jesus said, that is not for me to decide. Jesus Christ is the judge who is going to judge you and me. The second aspect of this passage is about the people, those who would be judged. You know, when we look at this passage, it is easy to look at this passage and come to a conclusion saying, oh, we would be judged on the basis of our works, right? Because that's what the passage talks about. It says, you fed me when I was hungry, you gave me water, you loved, you took care of me, and therefore then you are on the right side. And if you don't do this, then you're on the other side. It is easy to understand that. And in a way, it is not wrong. Jesus Christ is not sitting there and telling them a wrong thing. He's not giving them a diluted message. But for us, it is important to understand that we don't do good works, we don't love people to receive forgiveness of our sins. Please don't ever live a life thinking, because I do good things, because there are things that in my category feels right, I do them, therefore God would love me and I would be on the right side of God. My dear church family, we do, I wouldn't say good things, we do right things because we experience God's love. Because we have experienced forgiveness of our sins. And it is that life. It is that life that we live, knowing that I am nothing and yet God loved me. You know, there was a missionary known as Amy Carmichael. I don't know if ever we have heard of her name. Amy Carmichael. She was a missionary who was born in Northern Ireland, if I'm not wrong. And she had a great heart to go and serve the Lord in Asia. So she first applied to go to serve in China, but she couldn't go because of her bad health. Then she didn't just give up because she received one rejection. She went on to serve in Japan for a few years, but had to come back home because she was struggling with her health. And then she finally said, I am still going. And she went and served in India for about 50 plus years, never to come back to her homeland. And she used to say, I am Christian, where it means Christ, I am nothing. I am who I am because Christ loved me. I am who I am because Christ's love has showed me what it means to love others. So she worked, or she started an orphanage, and due to her efforts, the king of the British Empire wanted to honor her for her great works. You know, she said, I am hesitantly taking that because I don't want to disrespect the king, but my reward is already these kids whom I have shared my love with, because that is the love that I've experienced from God. You know, I was trying to do a study about sheep and goats. I couldn't. But that's not important. What is important is living a life of the experience of God's love for us. Please know this, that we would not be saved because of our good works. Just because we fulfill the criteria, oh, I helped someone today, or because I did this today, we would not be saved. But we do good works because we have experienced God's love. And if we are struggling to love someone, my dear friends, I would go on to say, and say, please take a step back and ask yourself, have I actually understand what it means that God loves me? And that is what Christian life is. We would be saved because of our faith in the Lord and not because of our works. We do good things because we have experienced God's love. The second important thing in this passage is Jesus is going to divide them in two groups. Sadly, there is no third group, which I assume I would have been the first one to be there. We're like, God, yes, I want to love you. See, I'm doing this bit. See, I have experienced your love. I'm fine. I'm trying to live my life according to what. But you know, this part of my life, can I just have it for myself? Can I just not do it? So I want to be here in your kingdom and yet have my own kingdom. And that is not going to happen. Clearly, God just divided them in two groups. You know, God, Jesus says, when I come back, there would be a division of those who have followed me, who have loved me, who have lived their life the way I have asked them, and those who haven't. Where we would be. There's no third group. They haven't mentioned sheep, goats, and lambs. It hasn't gone off or any other animal. It doesn't say three groups. So one group stands on this side, one group stands on there. And those who are still not sure, you know, you can't stand in that corner. Let me deal with this first. And then when you make your mind, you go and join the group. That's not going to happen. That is happening now. The way we live our life, the way we make our choices, the way we follow Jesus, the way we follow his teachings is happening now. And when the day comes when we would be judged, which I truly believe we will be, there is not going to be an option. There is not going to be a choice to make. We would not get one last telephone. We would not get one more lifeline. KBC, well, they're not. Who wants to be a millionaire, right? I don't know what they call it here. We would not going to be, get a call, of, call a friend. We would be standing in front of Christ and we would be judged for what the way we are living our life now. And this all sounds a bit scary at times, you know. The judgment, God's anger. We would receive either a punishment or a gift or God's eternal life. John 3:16. But it is not. Because at times we look at the world and think, oh, that person lives such a sinful life. And yet when I try to walk with the Lord, I don't see that kind of experience or that kind of blessings, worldly blessings. Please. You know, because that person seems to have a lot of money, a big car, big house, and all that stuff. And I struggle here to finish, even get my monthly needs met. Whereas I can do something wrong and I get some more money. Just an example. But my dear friends, our life is the life that must reflect God in everything that we do. Either you're alone at 12 o'clock at night in your room, or you're out there on the streets with the people, minding your own day-to-day life. Because that is what we would be, that is what we would be judged on. Third thing. Why judgment? You know, we talk about God being love. Oh, God loves us so much. God is love. But why judgment then? Why? Come on, read and tell me. Why judgment? What it says on the screen? Because God is holy. And he wants us to be holy. Is my writing so difficult to read? No, it's not that bad. This is a very clean writing though. If you read my messed up writing, it would be difficult. Even I would struggle to read that at times. Because God is holy. You know, God loves us the way we are. And this is a wonderful thing. God loves us the way we are. And that is just the beginning. Many a times, there are a lot of people in the world who just sit there thinking, God loves me the way I am. And therefore, it's all fine because God loves me. Therefore, anything that I do, everything that I do, the way I live my life is fine because God loves me. But my dear church family, God loves us the way we are so that we would become the way he wants us to be. And that we, many a times, many people don't get that. If God would have loved us just the way we are, the whole point of Bible is pointless. If God would have loved us just the way we are, the whole point of sending the Holy Spirit would have been pointless because God just loves you. It doesn't matter how I live my life. But God loves us the way we are because he wants us to be who he wants us to be. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter of the Bible, after God showed John everything, he ends the book with the open invitation. Sorry, those last few pages, you flip one extra there, one extra. Verse 14 and 15. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 and 15 says this. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. You know, there's an old hymn. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I don't know how many of us do enjoy hymns, but I do enjoy them. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? I don't know if you've ever heard this. I forgot those words. Yes. My dear friends, our life here on this earth is that process where we accept God, I am sinner, and I know you love me. But that is the beginning of a journey to be who he wants us to be. To depend on his Spirit, to guide us, to lead us, to become more and more like Christ, to reflect him in everything that we do in our life. Not just do, to reflect in who we are. So even our thoughts, even our small minor actions, everything, the whole being. That is what it is. So judgment, the whole aspect of Christ coming to earth, is a difficult topic. But he has already given us the master key to be present in front of him and to know which side we would be, because he has told us very, very clearly what's going to happen. It is not the mystery, just like my sermon this morning where you know everything that I'm going to talk about. He has told us everything. I wouldn't go there and I would not stand there in front of God and say, oh God, come on, that's not fair. You never told me this. But it is there. You know, verse 15 says, outside the city are the dogs. Not my words. It's in the Bible. The sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love to live a lie. My dear church family, my question to us this morning is where we would be. Would we be on the side towards whom Jesus would point and say, these are my lovely people who fed me, who cared for me, who loved me, because they have experienced my love and know what love means? Or we would be on the other side. I'm not pointing towards this group. Will we be on the other side, where they would say, "Oh, you didn't walk. You didn't live your life the way I wanted you to live, because you have never understood what my love for you is." Will we be the ones who would enter the city and eat the fruit of life, or we would be the ones standing outside the city? Because we didn't live our life based on how God wanted us to live. That's in the far future. We don't know when that is coming. Every now and then there are some people would come and say, oh, Christ is going to come on this and this day and on this place. It's fine. Yeah, it's okay. We don't know when that's going to happen, but it will happen. But I suppose it would be completely wrong to end my sermon without asking that one question. So what? What does this whole thing of Christ going to come, he is going to judge and being divided and standing in front of his judgment, what does it mean to us tomorrow? This afternoon, when we step out of the church, it's good information because the Bible talks about it. But how should it lead us to live our life today. Question mark. And you can tell me the answers. Anybody? Anything to add to that?
I just think what you said is just wonderful. And for quite some time, God has been reminding me through different things that actually, you know, there are two parts to the salvation story. One is, yes, God loves us. That's only part one. And just part two, like you've been saying, is he loves us too much to leave us the same. He wants us to change. So part one, yes, he loves us. And we always hear God loves us. And isn't it wonderful? God loves us. And that's all lovely and wonderful. But the reality is, God loves us too much to leave us the same. And if we don't change, do we really love God? How can we not change if we love God and we accept his love? You know, it requires a response from us. We cannot possibly stay the same. We can't. It requires change. He loves us too much to leave us the same, and he wants us to change, to be like him, to be holy. And what does that mean for us as individuals? It's different, I think, for everybody, but anyway, I just...
Is it?
Well, everybody has their own thing, is what I mean, and different changes.
Yeah, different changes, different aspects of life. Tell me, Mom. Anybody else?
And that's interesting, the so what. I just think that, you know, our... As Christians, as you said, we have to live, we have to be right with Christ, and we need to become more Christ-like. But the challenge I find is, you know, we'll never be perfect while we're here. So how do we achieve that?
See, it's not about achieving the perfection. And at times, I think we sit in the corner thinking, oh, I can never be perfect, therefore let me not even try it. It is about knowing what we are doing is right and wrong. Reading God's word, knowing that my this action or my this habit is not something that brings glory to God. And therefore asking God to help us move on from that area of life and doing things the way we glorify God. So we can never be perfect. That would be a wrong expectation, even God would say.
One of the things that God's been saying to me this morning through what you've said, Sat, is it's partly about dealing with the sin, particularly the sins that are just always there that can easily cause me to say, oh, Lord, this will never go. This is me. And yet, with God's Holy Spirit in me, I'm not only nudged to know about the sin, but, and that might have been something you said in your prayer, Dawn, I have the power to deal with the sin, and it's not me having to kind of gird my loins and deal with it. It's just allowing God to flow through me. That also throws up issues of pride and wanting to do it myself, but that's, I guess, part of my steps towards becoming holy like God is holy.
Thank you. Anybody else? Last option. I think it is very simple. You know, it almost goes down to the Sunday school song that I always love. Because we won't know what God, how God wants us to live till the time we read his word. And being completely aware of it. You know, I like this song. Read your Bible. Pray every day. It will make you grow. That is one important aspect of our spiritual walk. How the judgment, knowing about God is going to judge us, going to help me this afternoon? Is going and thinking as we live, how am I glorifying God at this very moment? How am I look when I look at that person, when I think about that person, how am I glorifying God through that? and being allowing God to guide us and lead us in everything that we do. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you because you love us. And Lord, you love us so much that you want us to be in your fellowship, not here just on this earth, but even when we have finished our journey on this earth, Lord. And therefore, Lord, you have given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to live a life that would continue to glorify you, nudge us, guide us, tell us, and correct us in things that we do. But that you have also given us your living word, Lord, to know your plans, your purposes, your will in our life, Lord. Lord, as we have heard this morning, that you will come back to judge us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live out for that day with the hope and a joy that we would live with you forever. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for this time of gathering together in worship. We have been blessed by your presence, Lord, and by your word. Mm-hmm. And we are grateful for your spirit that yes. you give to each one of us. May your spirit continue to watch over us, guide us. May your spirit empower our minds, our thoughts, and empower us completely. Yes. Help us to live our lives, Lord, in a way that honors you each day. Help us to reflect you, Jesus, in the way we are, in our conversations, in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.